Today's episode of Dog Nation Daily is presented by Kroger. More ways to save: fresh food, low prices at Kroger.
Presented by DogNation.com. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
Kroger, my name is Brandon Adams, and if you're watching on video, you can tell that we are not in our Dog Nation World Headquarters studios. We're here live at the Georgia World Congress Center for the 38th Annual Atlanta International Auto Show. Now, I feel pretty special because I'm actually in the venue right now before it has opened up. You'll get a chance to be in here starting at noon today and then throughout the rest of the weekend, Saturday and Sunday included. More than 2 dozen manufacturers represented. If you're looking for a new vehicle, or if you just kind of want to compare what's out there in the market right now, or just have some fun with your family, the Atlanta International Auto Show is a great chance for you to do that. We'll tell you more about that coming up on the show today. We'll also have our buddy Connor Riley here coming up in just a little bit. Fun day to have Connor on our program because Connor was in Indianapolis this week for the NFL Scouting Combine, got a chance to see a lot of what has gone on there with the Georgia guys and the other big names around the SEC and college football. So we'll get a chance to talk to Connor Riley about that here today. Let me begin, though, with this, and it also is kind of related to the Combine, and I think maybe instructive for what the Georgia quarterback competition is going to be like, or maybe what the Georgia quarterback situation is going to be like as we head towards 2020. I want to set it up this way. Our buddy D. Orlando Ledbetter from the AJC, of course, covering the Combine from an NFL standpoint, and he had a chance to talk to Falcons general manager Thomas Dimitroff the other day. And in the midst of that discussion, D-Led asked Dimitroff about Fromm. Now, I know you've heard Daniel Jeremiah, maybe from the NFL Network, suggesting the Falcons might draft Fromm. I honestly don't know that's going to happen. That's not why D-Led asked this question to Dimitroff. He was just trying to get a perspective on the Georgia guys, Fromm included, from a guy that kind of, you know, has some understanding of this process. And Dimitroff is a GM that he knows well. But Dimitroff, the Falcons general manager, talking about Jake Fromm, I thought yielded a pretty interesting answer. And there's one word in particular in this answer that I think stands out more than anything else that I think really defines what it's like to have been Jake Fromm these last 3 years and be the quarterback at the University of Georgia. And this is important for us today because this is about to be, with the new quarterback, we presume it to be Jamie Newman, what he's about to have to deal with as well. So here's what Dimitroff said about Fromm this week. You can read this at AJC.com, and when I post the show to the worldfamousdognation.com later on today, I'll post a link to the AJC story that includes the line from Dimitroff. About Fromm, the Falcons general manager says he's been in the limelight quite a bit. It'll be interesting to see how it all plays out for him. He's a really interesting guy from a personality standpoint. He's been around a very good and winning program. We'll be watching closely as well as he works and develops and works his way through the draft process, Dimitroff means there. That's the Falcons general manager, Thomas Dimitroff. And the word that kind of gets my attention from what Dimitroff uses there is the word limelight. And to me, it really is interesting just how much fame, how much attention the Georgia quarterback is going to receive. Fromm has maybe received as much of that as anyone ever has. I don't know that's about anything about him in particular as much as it is, but the fact that the Georgia program, brand-wise, national attention-wise, has just kind of grown over the last couple of years, and Fromm has been the quarterback at the center of all of this. He's also been on campus the same time as a couple of other high-profile quarterbacks, Jacob Eason, who's also going through the paces in Indianapolis this week, and of course Justin Fields, who we've no doubt talked plenty about over the years as well. However, even if you put all of that aside, you're still talking about a position, the quarterback at the University of Georgia, that's just going to get a lot of attention no matter who it is. I mean, we are at the auto show here this week at the Georgia World Congress Center. You know, there'll be thousands of people kind of coming through here over the course of the next couple of days. If I put Jake Fromm at a table like the one that I'm sitting in right now with a Sharpie pen in his hand and a bunch of 8x10 photographs, and I put other guys from this city. We're in downtown Atlanta. I put Trey Young next to him. I put Ronald Acuna next to Fromm. I put Matt Ryan, Julio Jones. The autograph line to get Jake Fromm's autograph is not going to be necessarily shorter than these other guys, these professional athletes who are nationally known and in some cases world-renowned. Here in the state of Georgia, the Georgia quarterback's autograph line, if you think about it that way, is not going to be necessarily all that much shorter. And sometimes it's a good thing and sometimes it's a bad thing. when you're leading Georgia to the Rose Bowl as a freshman. I mean, the pats on the back, they must never stop, right? The love on social media, it must just never end. However, when the team is coming up just short in an SEC championship game after the 2018 season or some of the stuff that was endured during the 2019 season, I imagine that level of attention might get a little uncomfortable at times, right? It kind of turns into maybe more criticism than maybe any of us would be used to receiving. But even when you're not on the far end of the good, when you're not on the far end of the bad, just the regular everyday experience of being the Georgia quarterback, I've got to imagine it must be just a little bit uncomfortable. It must be a little bit weird to go from being someone who could walk around, in Jake Fromm's case, Warner Robins, Georgia, you know, his whole life as a teenager, and then suddenly you step on campus in Athens, and within a couple of months, you can't really go to the grocery store anymore. Fromm's talked about that. You can't really, you know, be on the public without having to be the Jake Fromm that everybody's kind of learned to know and, in some cases, learned to love. And so we see that with Fromm in the combine this week, every throw that he makes, all the 40-yard dashes, you know, kind of everything that goes on there just gets a lot of attention. And I guess watching Fromm go through all of this, hearing what Dimitroff said about Fromm having lived in the limelight as much as he has, I guess it kind of does bring me to Jamie Newman and the admitted curiosity that I have of how is Newman going to respond to being that famous? Because in a couple of weeks, in a couple of months, spring practice gets going, certainly when the season begins, if everything works out the way it's supposed to, if Newman is healthy and he practices the way that I assume he's going to, he's going to be the Georgia quarterback. And he won't be as famous as Fromm, because Fromm has done this for 3 years in a row, but that level of attention that the Georgia quarterback gets, no matter who the Georgia quarterback is, Newman's going to experience that. Newman's going to have to live with that. And I don't know there's any way to tell how anyone's going to thrive in that environment until you are in that environment. See, I have a pretty good idea of what it's going to look like when Jamie Newman throws the football, and my guess is it's going to look pretty good. I have a pretty good idea of what it's going to look like when Jamie Newman's running around in the backfield. I've seen the athleticism. I think what he's done there at Wake Forest translates to the University of Georgia. The skill sets on the field, I think we know that pretty well. But what about the intangible part of this? In Winston-Salem, North Carolina, when you're playing for the Demon Deacons, there's just not that much attention. There aren't that many Wake Forest fans, and I don't say that as a shot. It's just a verifiable fact. The fan base is far, far smaller than the Dog Nation, the Georgia fans are. There's less media attention to go serve those fans. It's just way, way different being the quarterback at Wake Forest than is the quarterback at Georgia. Is Jamie Newman ready for this? Is he ready for the attention? The only assumption I can make is he must be. Because Newman comes off to me as a pretty sharp, smart guy. He comes across as a pretty deliberate guy. In fact, I'm reminded of what Kirby Smart said about Newman when he was asked about him when he first spoke. This is Kirby, but going back to February, the beginning of the month at National Signing Day, when he kind of talked about bringing in Jamie Newman. One of the things he said is, hey, when you're looking at these transfer quarterbacks now, these graduate transfers, they're guys who've gotten degrees from places like Wake Forest. They've kind of been through some academic rigor. They kind of come into a program like Georgia knowing what they want. You've seen that quote from Kirby before. We've played the audio here on Dog Nation Daily. You've obviously read that at dognation.com. So from that standpoint, I think Kirby's probably right. And I think that Newman, being deliberate about his process, hand-selecting the school that he wanted to go to, no doubt behind the scenes, privately, he had to kind of come to grips with all this and have a little bit of a reckoning with himself of playing football is about to feel really, really different. I'm about to be way more famous than I've ever been before. And sometimes that seems like really fun and sexy, and you know, it's great to be known by everybody and all the attention you get from that. Other times that might be a little bit uncomfortable, but it's just going to feel weird and different. We've seen Fromm go through that for the last 3 years. The culmination of all that in his Georgia career may have been this week with the NFL Scouting Combine, where he probably got, in some cases, more media attention than some of the quarterbacks who were expected to be drafted ahead of him. And now it's Jamie Newman's turn to live through that. I trust that he's kind of gone through his process on this pretty deliberately. I trust that he's taken his time to make sure that he's ready for this, because one way or another, his world is definitely about to change. My name is Brandon Adams, and this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. We're presented today by Kroger and available to you a lot of different ways. Live on video, 10 a.m., Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, or on the radio at noon on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref. We're available as a podcast wherever you find them. And today, we're also live here at the 38th Annual Atlanta International Auto Show. I'll tell you more throughout our program about how you can be a part of that. But before that, a really important message when it comes to our friends at Kroger, keeping you healthy, that's a really important thing. They want you to schedule your free health screening at your local Kroger. This includes cholesterol, blood pressure, and a BMI check. I don't know about you, but I'm not exactly looking to get my BMI check right now, but it's something we all need to do. We need to know what kind of health situation we're in at the moment. So if you go to Kroger.com/hearthealth, you can get started. That's Kroger.com/hearthealth to get started. All right, it's a little different anytime we are on the road, out and about. But it's not going to be that different today here live from the 38th Annual Atlanta International Auto Show. Have a special guest here coming up today, which I guess makes this show different than yesterday's show. We'll get Connor Riley here coming up in just a couple of minutes. Before that, I do want to deal with something else from the NFL Scouting Combine this week. I thought that a Georgia running back, now former Georgia running back, and boy, it's always weird when you start having to say that former in front of these guys' names. I thought that DeAndre Swift had some amazing things to say about his time at the University of Georgia. And if you go to the Dog Nation YouTube page, and you should definitely be subscribed to the Dog Nation YouTube page if you haven't already. But if you go there, you can see the full video. It's about 15 minutes longer, so it's really worth your time. He gets into a lot of stuff about his preparations, his time kind of growing up in Philadelphia and everything else. A lot of good stuff from him. But in particular, there are a couple of things I want you to hear him say about his time there at Georgia, including the difficulty of making the decision to go to the NFL. He'll start with that. We'll also hear him talk a little bit about how Georgia prepared him for what's about to happen playing on Sundays in the National Football League, and in particular, the way his game evolved over the course of the time at Georgia. This is really good stuff from Swift. I want to make sure you see a little bit of it. So enjoy that now as a part of Dog Nation Daily presented by Kroger here live from the 38th Annual Atlanta International Auto Show.
I didn't know what I was doing. I kind of wanted to stay with the team for as long as I could, and it was such a brotherhood at Georgia, so I didn't want to let them guys think I was leaving and stuff like that, so just changing the locker room. But I just wanted to be with them guys for as long as I could, just take advantage of that. Amazing. Just Coach McGee and how he installed the different terminology, just allowing me to mature and take control of that room last year was big for me as well. Just putting me in different situations, just the offense, the way coaches treated me. It's to a T when you get here. You really respect and thank Coach Smart and his staff for how they prepared us.
Yeah.
We was warming up and I wasn't supposed to play at all. I got out there, I see the fans, the crowd, just the energy. I got goosebumps, started catching kick returns. I go to Coach McGee, I'm like, Coach, is there any way I could play? Any way? He like, what you want to do? I'm like, whatever you need me to do. I just want to be out here with these guys. I almost started crying that I wasn't going to be able to play, but I just wanted to be out there to do anything. So get out there, throw a little flea flicker back to Jake and get to George Pickens. It was amazing. Yeah, that was kind of a question that people had. They didn't know if I could do that as much. And I've been put in that situation various amount of times last year. I think I succeeded at that situation. So just kind of showing everybody and showing the world that I really can do whatever I'm asked, because God gave me a lot of ability.
Back at the 38th Annual Atlanta International Auto Show on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Kroger. If you're watching on video, you see Connor Riley sitting next to me. We'll hear from him in just a moment. Before that, let me remind you of kind of what we just heard there from DeAndre Swift and the fun of all of that. You know, admittedly, I'm a Georgia fan. Admittedly, I like college football better than the NFL. Doesn't mean I don't like the NFL. Doesn't mean I don't like to watch on Sundays. I just like Saturday football better. And when I see things like what has gone on this week at the Combine, I do primarily view that from the vantage point of, what does this mean for Georgia? What kind of commercial does this end up being for the program? And to hear Swift saying what he said there, you know, this week, Javon Kinlaw from South Carolina came out and said, when I get some coaching, I'm going to be really rushing the passer a lot better. All I'm doing is bull rushing now. Wait till I get some coaching. Now, I don't know if he really meant that or if that's just what sounded good to him at the time, but that's sort of the exact opposite of what you hear from Swift there, of thanking Del McGee, thanking Kirby Smart for the way in which they prepared him for the NFL, whether that be encouraging him to grow in his maturity, encouraging him to take on that leadership mantle, encouraging him just to learn more about the game and be more, I guess, aware of the intricacies of kind of a pro-style offense. Certainly DeAndre Swift there having a lot of really good things to say about his time there at the University of Georgia, and you love to hear that if you're a UGA fan. As I said before, there's more really good interviews, and we'll do some of this on Dog Nation Daily presented by Kroger a little bit next week, whether it be what happened with Charlie Werner, some really good stuff from Solomon Kinley, more from Andrew Thomas and Isaiah Wilson. We'll do a lot of that on the show next week, but if you want to get a preview of what's all out there, make sure you check out the Dog Nation YouTube page. I'll also remind you of where we are here. here today at the 38th Annual Atlanta International Auto Show. And you may wonder, what's this really about? What is all this? There are more than two dozen manufacturers represented. So all the big names are out there, all the great new models for 2020, they are all here right now. And if you're kind of shopping for a car or a truck or an SUV, something like that, you just kind of want to see everything in one spot, no better place to be than right here. GoAutoShow.com is the website to go to find out more details about how you can be here. Adult tickets, there's a discount for kids. Heroes, seniors, discount for you as well. Children 5 and under actually get it for free. There's also special attractions here as well. This is one of the great things this time of year in the city of Atlanta each and every year. So go to GoAutoShow.com to find out more information about that. And here on Dog Nation Daily Now, I kind of want to turn our attention and bring in my good friend Connor Riley, who was at the Indianapolis NFL Scouting Combine here this week. And I guess, Connor, let me do something on DeAndre Swift before we kind of get anything else. Mm-hmm. If you're a Georgia fan, how could you not love that kind of stuff? How could you not feel really, really grateful that one of the big names this program has brought in the last couple of years feels as good about his time at Georgia as Georgia fans feel about having had Swift in UGA uniform?
Right. Swift, I think, is a wonderful representative of the University of Georgia and sort of what this football program can turn you into, because he was a five-star recruit coming in, and he more than lived up to the hype. I think he's one of the best running backs in college football we've seen over the past couple of years. In my personal opinion, if I'm ranking Georgia running backs, I probably have him third in recent memory behind Nick Chubb and Todd Gurley, ahead of Sony Michel. And he's probably going to be the first running back taken so long as he tests well tonight, which I fully expect him to do. And he's sort of everything you sort of want in a college football player. And I think Georgia is a big reason that he has become the player and person, more importantly, that he has become.
So off the air, we talk about this a lot. I'll be very, very honest with you. The NFL scouting combine is just sort of not my bag. I'm not that into it. I wasn't watching on TV last night. I was following a little bit on social media, but just in general, it's not my thing. Now, I'm going to presume that a lot of our audience knows about this event far more than me, cares about this event far more than me. But for the person who's out there who's a little bit like me, as we kind of get into what happened this week in Indianapolis, just give me a little bit of an overview, a 10,000-foot view of the UGA guys, just the overall themes that you noticed having been in Indianapolis this past week.
Yeah, so 10 Georgia guys are there. The only schools that have more are LSU and Ohio State. Georgia obviously very well represented. And I think this weekend, especially with the offensive line guys going tonight, and Georgia has three guys going there, and DeAndre Swift and Brian Harrion both running tonight, I think you're going to hear, tonight specifically, a lot of talk about Georgia, about the Georgia football program. And it's no real surprise that, so Georgia sending five offensive linemen and running backs, you know, total to the combine. It's no coincidence that Georgia has recruited those two positions incredibly well. Now, I think you sort of spin it, and this is one of the overarching things I've looked at, and we've talked about a lot. No defensive linemen at this combine, despite Georgia having five guys from that position graduate. That's something that, to me at least anyway, is a little concerning. And now that'll change when Trayvon Walker, Jordan Davis, Jalen Carter eventually get there. But to me, from a Georgia-centric standpoint, you have all these guys on offense. You have a great defensive back in J.R. Reed going. But those front seven guys, those true, I think, difference makers, which is why Clemson is what Clemson is and Alabama is what Alabama is, Georgia's not represented there this week in that aspect.
I want to be careful not to go off on a tangent here because I want to keep the subject where it is. But what you say reminds me of something that the Falcons general manager Thomas Dimitroff said this week about how they'd be looking at Georgia players even that weren't invited to the combine. Mm-hmm. And obviously, you know, defensive line names kind of come to mind there.
Yeah.
You know, whether it be a Tyler Clark or David Marshall, there are defensive linemen that did not get invited to the combine. Dimitroff didn't mention them by name, but he did mention non-combine invitees from UGA that the Falcons were going to have a chance to maybe look a little bit more closely at because they just are the two organizations are located so closely.
Right, and you know, when Georgia has their pro day next month, no doubt Dimitroff is going to be there, and they're going to be able to get a closer look at guys like Tyler Clark, like a guy like, I think, like Tate Crowder, given that, you know, Devondre Campbell is a free agent. That could be someone that they could be interested in who probably should have been invited to the combine but did not. But, you know, with Crowder, it's nothing new for him. He's used to being in sort of this role, this position where he's sort of overlooked. And we saw this last year at Georgia. He overcame that and was a really great linebacker for the Bulldogs. And it wouldn't surprise me at all if he's able to carve out a niche in his NFL career.
All right, I got to read this comment. Nick Duke watching us on Facebook. If you're listening radio podcast, you don't realize this, but So we have a new desk that we've taken on the road, and Nick Duke's like, whoa, Dog Nation's upgraded its road gear. Here's the story behind the story on this. I really wanted to bring this desk on the road. This is our old desk from our old studio. Those of you that have been around long enough to remember back when the studio looked a little bit different than it does now. And my idea was, well, we'll keep this desk, and we go out and do a road show. We'll just use this desk for the road show. Let me tell you something. Transporting this desk from our Dog Nation World Headquarters studios to where we are today was the biggest, like, logistical nightmare. The desk is not that heavy, but it's just sort of weird to carry. It's kind of flimsy in a weird way, and it doesn't really roll. It's just the whole thing's a mess, and my boss has essentially said, we are never doing this again. So I'm going to take a snapshot of that comment. I'm going to give that to him to see if I can find some way to get this back out here again after all this is said and done. Connor, also on the subject of the combine for a moment. You mentioned, hey, you still got to see Georgia kind of round out its, you know, sort of defensive linemen at a place like this. But you do see offensive linemen, Andrew Thomas, Isaiah Wilson, Solomon Kinley. It does seem like that initial vision of what Smart had for Georgia, be big along the offensive line. Sam Pittman, you got to give him a ton of credit for this. Bring those guys in. That part of the Georgia brand is certainly fully realized by what you've seen here this week.
Absolutely. I expect Andrew Thomas to be a first-round talent, a first-round pick in this draft. I think Isaiah Wilson is really going to impress teams. I mean, he has totally transformed his body since he left Georgia. I mean, he might as well have had cannons on the side for arms.
It's amazing how big his arms
have
gotten.
Solomon Kinley is a really solid player, and if he's able to stay healthy and sort of keep his weight, you know, and stay in shape during the course of the year, he's going to be a third, fourth round draft pick and land on a team that is going to want to use him as a starting caliber guard, which I certainly think he can be. And, you know, Georgia and Smart have talked a lot about being a physical run first team. You certainly see that borne out in the combine with all the guys from that sort of skill set and mindset participating tonight.
So, as I said before, I'm not a huge combine guy, but I do cheer for the UGA guys, Jake Fromm included. And following this on social media, the 40 time, I saw like 19 different numbers, but I believe the official time puts him, I guess, north of the 5-second mark. The throwing, was it a good day, bad day, something in between for Jake Fromm? And one way or another, for someone that we didn't necessarily expect to dominate the combine anyway, does this change his draft status?
He was never going to impress in the physical, you know, camera front-facing aspects of the combine. You know, his hand size measured in under 9 inches. He doesn't have a rocket arm. When those guys are throwing, I don't know how much people follow this, but it's like you get up there, you do 3 reps, and then you wait for all the other quarterbacks to go through. Yeah. It's just hard to really get in a rhythm, which is just not how that position is played at all. But it wouldn't surprise, like, he did not technically have a good or great combine. I don't think he's boosted his draft stock. But for anyone who's coming out saying that he hurt his draft stock based on his workouts, I don't know if I buy that either. Because where Fromm was always going to be the most impressive two teams, the ones drafting and not the media types who are picking apart his game and figuring out where he fits on their mock drafts and big boards, is in front of those teams in those 15-minute interviews when he can go up there and diagram a play and sort of better represent himself and show that he can be the face of an NFL franchise.
I want to ask you about something I got some criticism for, and I want you to tell me if you agree or disagree. We heard Jake Fromm talk this week about how he felt like his footwork could have been different at Georgia, and better footwork would have led to more velocity in his throws. Mm-hmm. Anyone who's ever even played youth sports kind of understands that. Your feet, your legs, your hips are about the most important thing you have in sports. He says his lower body could have been used differently. Mock draft analysis has brought that out. I think Jeremiah said that. We've seen a few of these things that say, hey, not the strongest arm, but there were things that happened at Georgia that he could have done differently and his arm would have been even stronger. The point that I've made on the show is, that to me is, this is not a condemnation of Georgia, it's just a suggestion of, hey, you want to make sure that whatever you have, fundamentally, you're getting the most out of that skill set. And so I've kind of somewhat criticized the Georgia coaches for maybe allowing Fromm's fundamentals to, slack off here a little bit in his junior season. Is that a fair criticism of Georgia?
I think it's a fair criticism of Georgia, but I also think Fromm should get some of the blame, or not blame so much, but, you know, he is the one out there who's going through the mechanics, and it's on him to a certain extent as well to make sure that he's fundamentally sound with his footwork. I think, you know, maybe if you want a nitpick of sort of the structure of both, you know, James Coley being the offensive coordinator and the quarterback's coach last year, he may have been focusing too much on, you know, the offense as a whole and not necessarily on how do we get the absolute most out of Jake Fromm, or is the year before when Fromm, I think it was at his best as a sophomore. more. You know, Coley was, he was a co-offensive coordinator, but he was essentially just the quarterback's coach. And I think with Fromm, you know, he's talked a lot about how he was asked to do so much for the offense. I wonder if, you know, putting them in the right plays, making all those checks to the line of scrimmage, things he's going to have to do at the next level, I wonder if there was so much on his plate in that aspect that he maybe thought it was, he let it slide, some of those, you know, easy fundamental aspects that you can easily put off when you're asked to do a lot more.
In the time we have left, let me talk about a couple of other subjects. We really haven't heard a lot from you, at least in person, on the Scott Cochran hire that Georgia made this week. I've made the case a million times in this show of all the ways in which I thought that Georgia could have filled this 10th coaching position. Admittedly, there's nothing more entertaining than hiring Scott Cochran, so therefore I am 100% for it. I think strategically using this spot in a different way, there's a pretty good argument for that, but ultimately this is about having fun and enjoyment. It's about entertainment. There's nothing more entertaining than taking Bama strength coach, so from that standpoint I'm 100% for it.
Yeah, from, you know, everything we've heard, and I talked to a couple Alabama players this week, and they all raved about Scott Cochran. Jalen Hurts in particular, he told him, he gave him a very big pump up speech, you know, talking to him before that SEC championship game when Hurts didn't even think he was going to play that day, and they all rave about him. I don't know enough about how Scott Cochran makes this 2020 Georgia football team better, but you've seen some of those, like, not necessarily guys that they had question marks about. You know, Dan Lanning, when he was hired, nobody really knew who he was and what he brought to the team. I would say that hire has been an overwhelming success. I think so far with Charlton Warren, you've seen a lot of very good things out of him as the defensive backs coach. You know, even a guy like Todd Hartley, who had some success at Miami, I think he's continued that at Georgia. Kirby Smart, I think, knows what he is looking for in assistant coaches. And, you know, I do tend to believe that this was a shot by him at Saban saying, hey, I'm coming for you. I'm trying to make you weaker. I know Cochran is a pillar of this Alabama program. And I believe if we take him, that allows us to make up some ground and hopefully eventually pass them as sort of the premier dog, so to say, in the SEC.
And I understand the question of, and I've even asked this myself, of, you know, no on-field coaching experience prior to this, and yet everyone had their first coaching job, right? Everyone had that moment in their life. This just happens to be Cochran's. But when you look at his track record of success prior to this, I would say, if you're asking me to make a bet, the safest bet is, this isn't Cochran's last job. Mm-hmm. He gets a better job at some point in time, whether it be on the Georgia staff or at somebody else's staff. Someone who's been this upwardly mobile, going from about a $200,000 salary to almost a $700,000 salary, that's a guy who's got his pedal to the metal in terms of career sort of trajectory anyway. My guess is the safest bet is that at some point in time, Scott Cochran's doing something else for Georgia other than being a special teams coach, or doing a bigger and better job for some other program.
Right. I think it's clear Saban did not think that Cochran either was fit to be an on-field coach or thought that it was best for Alabama to have him in an on-field role. But you don't hear Tua Tagovailoa say this is a significant loss for Alabama and say the things that they do about Cochran if Cochran isn't capable of doing more. And sort of, you know, you think of a head coach, CEO type. A lot of this is just managing personalities, of managing guys, of motivating them, of figuring out how to get the best out of them. And that is a key tenet of being a strength coach. And I think Cochran, that is something he can absolutely do and bring to this Georgia team in an on-field role.
There's another subject I want to get to before we finish up. But I'll also say this. You know, I mentioned this in the show yesterday, that there's a frustration for me of the non-Georgia fan, or just the, sort of the Georgia skeptic in the media, who wants to say, you know, these Georgia fans celebrate all these February wins, these January wins, whether it be recruiting, coaching hires, everything else, but they still haven't beaten Alabama on the field yet. Here's the one thing I think that certainly our audience knows, and the people who are not Georgia fans that happen to be watching or listening right now ought to know as well. UGA fans themselves are the most aware of that fact than anything else. Georgia fans are not delusional about what the program hasn't done yet. However, the one thing that I think the media sometimes get wrong on this, Connor, is show me someone who did win the big game who didn't do stuff like this first. Hire the best assistants available, recruit the best players available. Every big on-field win, vanquishing a team like Alabama, ultimately winning a national championship, they're always going to be predated by these kinds of things that you've seen Georgia do this last month.
Not to sound like Nick Saban, but success is a process, and these are the steps that you have to do to sort of check things off. And yes, Georgia hasn't beaten Alabama since 2007, but they've won a lot of games. They've been to three straight SEC title games. Alabama can't say that. And if you think that Georgia fans are loud and obnoxious and celebrating a lot now, wait until Georgia actually beats Alabama.
Oh, yeah.
Because you will never hear the end of it. It will never stop. And I do think that there's enough unknowns about both these teams right now that when they meet on September 19th, it's not going to be a surprise to see Georgia win that game.
I can only speak for myself and the few hundred Georgia fans that I plan on taking to Tuscaloosa via Dog Nation Invasion. We are going to be very tough to deal with.
Yes.
Driving back 59, getting on 20, coming back to the Peach State. We will be very tough to deal with, assuming things go well on that particular Saturday in September. One more thing with Connor Riley here live on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Kroger, before we wrap this up. So this week, disgraced and failed former FBS head coach Tim Brewster was on a 24/7 sports podcast and kind of laid the gauntlet down of how Florida's going to handle things in its recruiting in its home state going forward against UGA. We talked about this a little bit yesterday. Kind of, I'm not mad about this. This is what you're supposed to do. The assumption is you're going to try to recruit your own home state. Well, I guess in a weird way, I'm sort of glad Florida's trying again.
Yeah.
I feel like for a while they've only been going about three-quarter speed in recruiting. I guess the blustery Tim Brewster is going to come down and try to sort of, you know, make this a thing now. I'm a little bit proud of them for kind of getting in the game here a little bit. What was your reaction to what went on there?
College football, and I think life in general, is just better if you have great villains.
Oh, yeah.
And I think Tim Brewster certainly classifies as a villain. You know, he's a loud guy. He's got a not so great history given his time at Minnesota. You know, obviously he's working and had a lot of success with Jimbo Fisher. But if Jimbo thought Brewster was so great, he'd still be working with Jimbo Fisher and wouldn't have had to go to North Carolina last year and work with Mack Brown. So, you know, he can say what he wants. As long as Dan Mullen is still the head coach of Florida and Kirby Smart is still the head coach at Georgia, Georgia is always going to recruit better than Florida.
Yeah.
That's just, it's the way both those coaches are wired, and it's just sort of the way things are at this point.
Yeah, I think the point here is, and Georgia fans have certainly seen this up close and personal, not everyone recruits equally well. Now, there's a little bit of a secret in recruiting that certain programs are sort of always going to have the best recruiting classes. You don't see a lot of dramatic leaps in sort of recruiting rankings from time to time. Certain programs are sort of always going to do better than other programs. But however, within that category of typically elite recruiters, there are a few guys who just do it better than others. Kirby Smart is just dadgum good at this.
Yep.
Whether it be how he played out the Warren Brinson thing, how he played the Carson Beck thing, the fact that a game-changing defensive lineman like Jalen Carter is even at Georgia. Just be very careful provoking him. Be very careful with anything that looks like a provocation, because high and tight with some sweet chin music, that's the way that Kirby Smart likes to recruit.
Right, and you look at Georgia's class last year, they only signed, I believe, two of the top 25 players in the state of Georgia. Admittedly, like, you'd probably like to see that be better. But they went out and signed the number one player from Arizona, signed the number one player from Nevada, signed the number two player from Washington, D.C., and Mikael Sherman. They have no problem going into all regions of the country and pulling out great players from there. I don't necessarily know if Florida certainly can get that same caliber of player from all over the country, but can necessarily even do that. So, yeah, Tim Brewster, I think, is somewhat wise to preach the importance of recruiting Florida, because unlike Georgia right now, they can't go into every living room in the country and sort of pitch themselves as a, hey, you come here, you're going to compete and win an SEC title and possibly a national title.
That is Connor Riley. You can read him every day at DogNation.com. Really good stuff here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Kroger, and live from the 38th Annual Atlanta International Auto Show. Let me also get ready to go cruise around the SEC, courtesy of our friends at Royal Caribbean. And I'm really excited about this. I had a brief conversation with somebody last night. Looks like we could be on our way to a little bit of a Royal Caribbean cruise ourselves here this upcoming spring. Not by ourselves, I mean me and my family, quite possibly. So we could be on our way to doing that here pretty soon. Really, really excited about that. And you need to do the same thing, because one of the things that you'll immediately notice about a Royal Caribbean cruise that really sets it apart from anything else is the kind of entertainment you get to enjoy while you're on a cruise. Whether this be like awe-inspiring Tony Award-winning Broadway-style musicals, or the aqua theater shows you have on the certain ships, you have the ice skating shows, the nightclubs, the nightlife stuff. It's really like a floating city at sea. That's what Royal Caribbean is famous for. They're the most awarded cruise line in the entire industry when it comes to the entertainment they provide. You need to experience this for yourself. You see it on our video every week when you watch. You can also check it out for yourself online, or just talk to your travel advisor. Tell them that you want to be a part of this, or you can contact my friends at the Cruise and Vacation Education Authority, 800-326-4971. That's 800-326-4971. Just do me a favor. Please let them know. You heard about them here on Dog Nation Daily. Our friends at the Cruise and Vacation Authority, once again, the number 800-326-4971. They'll get you going for a really fun cruise vacation as we head towards a great time of year to be sailing out on the open seas. All right. Couple things to point out here, cruising around the SEC, courtesy of Royal Caribbean, from the NFL Scouting Combine. Beyond what you've seen from Georgia, pretty good night for, and I'm not even going to try to say the last name, but you know him, the Missouri tight end, Albert O. Big-time performance. What did he run? Sub-4.6 in the 40-yard dash. For a guy that's as big as he is, 260-ish or so pounds, to run that well is an amazing level of athleticism. So very impressive for him. Henry Ruggs did not break the record. This is the former Alabama receiver. Did not break the record for the fastest 40 time ever. But as Mecole Hardman, I think, said on Twitter, is it 4.22? Is that what the record is? 4.22? McCall's like, y'all don't realize how fast 4.22 is. I mean, that's almost sort of pushing the boundaries of what even is possible for a human being. So Ruggs doesn't quite do that, but ran amazingly well. Had a big vertical leap as well. So a pretty impressive performance from Henry Ruggs. And it's really a reminder of, when you think about like the recent transformation of Alabama, and the thing that has made Alabama so difficult to play against the last couple of years, and I say this as someone who's also been critical of the lack of physicality that Alabama has certainly had in recent years, the trade-off that they've made to get more explosive offensively, one of the aspects of that that doesn't get so much credit, or maybe as much credit as it deserves. You know, you'll talk about Lane Kiffin as the offensive coordinator who kind of brought all this to bear. You'll talk about Tua Tagovailoa potentially being a special generational talent at quarterback. However, the one thing I don't think people pay enough attention to are just how good the Alabama wide receivers have been. When you bring in Jerry Jeudy and Devontae Smith and Henry Ruggs from the same recruiting class, that's a game changer. When you follow up the following year with a guy like Jalen Waddle, that makes things even more so. And when you see Ruggs doing what he's doing, when you see how high Judy's going to be drafted, Devontae Smith's coming back to school, I think you realize just how special that crop of receivers has been. In fact, I'll go so far as to say this. There's a lot of debate right now going on about Joe Burrow versus Tua Tagovailoa. Which of these two quarterbacks is the better guy? Which is going to have the better NFL career? And you're starting to see some movement in favor of Tua compared to Joe Burrow. Most of this is just sort of media back and forth stuff, what NFL teams are thinking. We don't really know yet. But the back and forth between Tua and Burrow, what I've said on the show is, if I had to make my bet between Tua and Burrow, my guess is that neither one of them are all-time great quarterbacks at the NFL level. I've given a lot of the credit for Joe Burrow's success at LSU to Joe Brady. I think the real star of the LSU show this past year was Brady more so than Burrow. And for the success that Tua Tagovailoa enjoyed at Alabama, while he was a great college quarterback when he was healthy, the greatness of the Alabama offense was, I think, propelled more so than people realize by Jeudy and by Ruggs, who you've seen in the combine this week, by Jalen Waddle and Devontae Smith, who are still there. That crop of Alabama wide receivers has not got enough credit for making Tagovailoa into the quarterback that he is. And I think the combine is really kind of another reminder of that. I guess also kind of interesting to see a former SEC quarterback, Jalen Hurts, who displaced from Alabama because of Tua Tagovailoa. Sounds like he had himself a pretty good night there as well. Couple of transfer portal notes to get to as recruits are in the SEC, courtesy of our friends at Royal Caribbean. I think of this as a pretty big loss for Texas A&M. Not great stats for Leon O'Neal, but you'll remember O'Neal as a big-time face on the recruiting scene a couple of cycles ago, someone that Georgia had heavy interest in. He chooses Texas A&M, one of the real interesting early wins for Jimbo Fisher, but O'Neal has put it out on Twitter that he is leaving the Texas A&M program, or at least he's putting his name into the transfer portal and had kind of a dramatic goodbye for Aggies fans there on social media. I think this is kind of an interesting development, a guy that didn't have massive stats the last couple of years, but on the field a lot, and really a pretty physical defensive back. Looks like Leon O'Neal may be looking for a new home. Another guy apparently looking for a new home as well. This has kind of been kind of an in-and-out thing for Scooby Carter at Alabama, former big-time recruit who was with the program, then went to the transfer portal, then decided to come back in. Now he's back in the transfer portal again. And this is just sort of like, you know, how, I guess, life kind of goes when it comes to modern college football right now. Some guys are going to have one foot in, one foot out. I actually don't fault Alabama for this all that much. This is just sort of the way that it is right now, which actually brings me to the final point I wanted to get to as far as Cruiser and the SEC courtesy of Royal Caribbean goes, I was actually somewhat happy to see Philip Fulmer speak out a little bit on the new transfer rule that's being proposed of one free transfer for every player. I know this seems like a sensible solution, and I've admitted before that this is one of the few things where I've done almost a complete 180-degree about-face on. I used to be very, very in favor of very broad, widely applied transfer rules, totally in favor of all the name, image, and likeness stuff, and all these kind of newfangled ideas that seem to be on the way to college football. I used to, for the most part, welcome all these in with open arms. I don't find myself welcoming them in quite as much as I used to. I find myself being pretty skeptical of the way in which they may rock the foundation that's made the institution of college football so much fun. Nothing like college football would last for 150 years if it wasn't doing far more good than bad to the world in which it's impacting. That's just the way that things go. Institutions don't last this long without a good reason. And in college football's case, I think you can look at the players who've played it and see the numerous examples of those good reasons. And, you know, very, very aggressive transfer rules, very relaxed name, image, and likeness stuff, I've just kind of come to believe might be a bit of a threat for the future of college football, and therefore I'm not for anything that threatens the future of college football. Nice to see Philip Fulmer speaking out about this. Of course, Kirk Herbstreit's recently spoken out about it there as well. Kind of nice thing to see, and we'll make that cruise around the SEC, courtesy of Royal Caribbean. I'll remind you, we're at the 38th Annual Atlanta International Auto Show. You can go to goautoshow.com. Get more information about tickets, how you can be here. It opens up at noon today. I'm actually lucky enough to be inside before the actual event opens up at noon, but you can be a part of that. You can also be here on Saturday and Sunday as well. GoAutoShow.com to find out about tickets, how you can get discounted tickets, or if you've got children who are young enough, how you can get free tickets. Somewhere around here is the Cousin Eddie RV from a Christmas Vacation. I have not seen that. Denny Hamlin's race car is over here. The driver that won the Daytona 500 a couple of weeks ago, the beautiful number 11 race car is over here. You can check that out. There's a lot of fun things like that that you can see when you are at the Atlanta International Auto Show. Really good thing going on this weekend. Also, speaking of the weekend, around here we love to kick off the weekend in style with our friends at Kroger. We think about, you know, going to Kroger to get stocked up for that big party you got going on. You got some folks coming over to hang out on the back deck or gather around the fireplace, whatever you got going on this weekend. Kroger's always a great choice for that, and it's always a great way to think about what's going to be going on around UGA Athletics this weekend there as well. So let me give you a reminder of that, our Kroger kickoff, looking at the weekend. And there's really one big thing I want to highlight here. And honestly, I don't know if this is going to be a good idea or not. I guess we'll find out how it plays out. But in the past, Georgia and Georgia Tech in baseball, the Diamond Dogs, have played during the week over the course of the season. This year, they've decided to do it a little bit differently. The only three times they're playing all year, I believe, are this weekend. It's a Friday in Athens. It's a Saturday at Russ Chandler in at Georgia Tech. And then it's on Sunday at Cool Ray Field where the Gwinnett Braves play. These two teams normally play at SunTrust Park, or now it's Truist Park. They normally play there every year. This year, though, they're going to do it at Cool Ray instead. So it's a Friday, a Saturday, and a Sunday. Athens, Atlanta, and then Gwinnett for the series finale on Sunday. So a little bit different going on with there that this weekend. You've also got track and field at the SEC Indoor Championships all weekend long. You got men's tennis today against Tennessee. Women's tennis against Tennessee on Saturday. Gym Dogs versus Florida today. All weekend, we've got the softball team against Boston College. Men's basketball hosts Arkansas on Saturday. And the Lady Dogs host Florida on Sunday. So a busy weekend with a lot of stuff going on there around UGA Athletics. That is our Kroger kickoff as a part of Dog Nation Daily presented by Kroger here today. And, of course, we always appreciate Kroger being a part of the program. Don't forget, Kroger Chef Jr. is going to be making dumpling sandwiches in the month of March on the 7th and the 21st. You get a chance to be a part of that. When you sign up, it includes a patch, a recipe card, an apron, a chef hat, a recipe box, and a dumpling maker. You can go to KrogerChefJr.com to register for that and find out more about the participating locations for Kroger Chef Jr. With that said, we'll get ready to wrap up and sign off this edition of Dog Nation Daily presented by Kroger. I know it's always a little bit different show when we're out and about here, as we are today, the 38th Annual Atlanta International Auto Show. We just appreciate you being a part of the program in all its forms and fashions as it comes to you throughout the year, whether it be video or radio or podcast, however you choose to listen to us. We just really appreciate you making Dog Nation Daily kind of part of your habit there. And, of course, speaking of a habit, George has done a good job of making beating the Florida Gators a habit. They've now done that a number of years. In fact, it's been 1,217 days since those lousy, stinking Gators have beaten the Georgia Bulldogs. I got a light shining in my face, but I can't see the number quite as well. But that's what it is, 1,217 days since Florida's beaten Georgia. That's our Gator Hater Updater. Always a great way to go out and close out the week, reminding you about that. We appreciate all of you being here with us today. Dog Nation Daily presented by Kroger. Hope all of you have a great weekend. I'll see you back on Monday in our World Headquarters studios for another edition of our program. Between now and then, though, hope you have a great weekend. Thanks for being a part of the show.